We're in a series about leadership, and when I say leadership, I don't mean it in its most narrow sense, but really just as a Christian, as a godly person trying to live your life so that whoever's watching you, if they follow you, they follow Christ. And that's true for all of us as Christians. We have that responsibility, don't we? We don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in a bubble. We can't just do our own thing. But somebody is watching us. And so when we talk about leadership, that's what we're talking about. Turn to Genesis 39. Today we're going to look at Joseph. Genesis 39. Abraham, of course, had Isaac. And Isaac had Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And we have the 12 tribes of Israel that come from those sons. But his son Joseph, at one time, of course, the youngest. And then he had one more. But Joseph was a son from the wife he loved, Rachel. And Joseph was spoiled. In fact, he gave Joseph a robe. NIV says a richly ornamented robe. And Joseph was the favorite. He was spoiled beyond belief. And the brothers were very jealous and envious. And God grants Joseph a dream. He gives Joseph a dream that truthfully predicts his future. And the dream was, the interpretation is, that he would rule over his brothers. Well, he told his brothers about the dream, and they understood what the meaning was, and they just hated him all the more. And he had another dream that he would rule even over his parents, and he told them, and they didn't really believe that. But we will see, of course, if in Joseph's life all those things come to be. Well, Joseph is sent out one day to check on his brothers, and while he's on his way, they see him and they plot. They make a plan. They plan originally to kill him. But then they decide, no, we will sell him. And they sell him to a caravan of Ishmaelites. And Joseph is taken down as a piece of property to Egypt. And Potiphar buys him. And Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. So as far as being a slave to someone, Joseph winds up in a good position because God is taking care of him. And in fact, Joseph lives with Potiphar. Look at Genesis 39, verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. One thing I want you to see as we go through this, God was with Joseph the whole time. But I'm sure it didn't always look like that to Joseph. God was blessing him the whole time. Everything was right on course. But I have no doubt that Joseph didn't always feel that way. But here he is, and at this point, I'm sure he's wondering, God, you gave me this dream, and then this happens? So he's been taken from his homeland. He's a servant to Potiphar, but God blesses him. So he essentially is promoted. And it comes to a point where in verse 4, he's entrusted to everything Potiphar owned. I mean, he only answers to Potiphar. Everything else he is in charge of. Well, verse 6, the second part of verse 6, Joseph was well built and handsome. He was one good looking dude. Okay? And it did not go unnoticed. And while his master's wife, after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. And so you have Potiphar's wife making advances toward Joseph, asking him to go to bed with her, but he will not. And his answer is, look at his answer. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against my master?" He doesn't say that, does he? He's making this whole case that I can't do this because look at the responsibility given to me, and this is the one thing, but I can't do this wicked thing and sin against God. And point number one, a good leader recognizes the severity of sin. Joseph doesn't just say, "I can't do this thing. I respect Potiphar. This isn't right." He says all that, but then he says, "I can't do this thing against God." Because sin is against God. And we can't compromise sin. We cannot change the rules. God has told us what is wrong, hasn't He? God has told us what is right. He has told us what is wrong. We read it in Scripture, and our generation has read it, and the generation before us has read it, and the generation before that has read it, and we've understood it, and now our society is changing. And as society changes the rules. Right? Society is changing interpretation of Scripture, but God has never changed. And you need to know, we cannot change with our world. Our world has decided homosexuality is no longer sinful. It is normal. It is from birth. It is to be celebrated. God hasn't changed on that. We have to love people. But we cannot change what God has said regarding sin. Our society has said living together as a couple before marriage, status quo. I mean, our society says that this is appropriate, this is good, it is wise, it is normal. Who doesn't? And our God hasn't changed His mind regarding intimacy between a man and a woman that is to be after the wedding, not before. God hasn't changed on that. When we sin, God wants to forgive us. But young people, please listen. God hasn't changed His mind on living together before marriage. And we live in a society that's changed on that. But let us not change how we view sin. Sin is as severe as it has always been. Our society has changed on modesty, on dress, how we dress, what's provocative, what's appropriate, what's modest, what's Christ-like, and God hasn't changed. Our society has changed on lust, look but don't touch. And God said, Jesus said, if you look lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. God hasn't changed on it, but our world has. Is lying wrong? It is in here. I don't know that it is out there in our world. Being disrespectful to our parents. God said, oh, children, obey your parents. It's the first commandment with a promise. God hasn't changed on that. And so the point number one is, we need to, I'll give you another one, gossip. What does our world think about gossip? God hasn't changed. We have to be very serious about sin. And we have to repent when we fail and we receive forgiveness. But we have to live a life that takes sin very serious, just like Joseph did. Right? Look at verse 10. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Joseph would not even be with her. He wouldn't even be near temptation. You may have heard me tell the story. Right before Stephanie and I moved here to Sand Springs, we were boxing up our stuff, getting ready to move in our house. And the day, or it was the week of our move, we had a lot of things in boxes. And one day, we're kind of going in and out of the house, and there's a snake in the yard. Now, I hate snakes, all right, for all the right reasons. I hate them. God chose to put the devil in a snake for good reason, I think. They're just devilish creatures. I hate them. There's not a one of them that's good to me. And so we're in the yard, and she gets in the car immediately. And we get to where she is in the car, and I'm watching the snake, and we're trying to run over it. You know, trying to communicate. We're going to kill this snake, right, from a safe distance. And we keep working on that, and that doesn't work. And meanwhile, the front door's open. The next thing you know, that snake goes in the house. Well, Elizabeth was upstairs taking a nap. And so I go in. Luckily, I know where the snake is amongst a bunch of stuff, and I know where it has not gotten it, which was upstairs. So I go get her, come down, we get her out, but we still have a snake in and amongst a bunch of furniture and boxes. Well, I'm not about to kill this snake. I'm not going to get close to this snake, so I need some help. So I start calling. None of my friends are available. No one. Landlord, no one. And finally, we have the sheriff come out and help me kill this snake. True story. I did that. Now, some of y'all are, all of you guys are laughing at me. And some of you have no fear of snakes. I understand that. But you have a fear of spiders. You have a fear of heights. You have a fear of public speaking. All right? Just be careful when you laugh. All right? Be careful. We all have a fear of something. We need to fear temptation. And I don't think we do. We want to get way too close to it. Joseph would not even be near temptation. He wouldn't even get close to it. And what an example for us. Verse 11, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. So he finds himself in the house where just by chance, it's just him and her. No one else there. And she comes on him forcefully. And he leaves his cloak, which is a valuable possession. It's like about like leaving your car. And he runs. A good leader runs from sin. You've heard the phrase, play with fire and you get burned. You know, when we play with sin, we get burned. And a good Christian, man, woman, or child, will run from sin. And we need to run. We need to run from temptation. Men, we need to run from temptation. I firmly believe the greatest common temptation to men most is some form of lust, some form of sexual temptation. It's the temptation to look, it's the temptation to cheat in some form. It's a lifelong struggle for men. God made men and women very different. And ladies, I'm grateful that you do not understand, because He did not make you the way He made men. But God designed men with something that would be a gift in His marriage, that He would pursue His wife and continue pursuing her. But the way God's made us, Satan takes that, and Satan wants to destroy us with the temptation of sexual sin, whether it be lust or beyond that. And it is a battle. And we need to not deny it. And it's easy in the church for us to ignore it. And it's easy for us to think, as a man, it's easy even for me to think it's just me. But I know enough. I know it's not just me. And guys, if you think it's just you, it's not just you. Satan is coming at all of us, and it may not. Your greatest temptation may not be of a lustful or sexual nature. It may not, but I believe most is. Do we have filters on our computers? How far are we from temptation? Do we watch R-rated movies? Some that take our minds places we don't need to go. How far are we from temptation? Do we have filters on our smartphones? If a Christian man has a filter on his computer and another man does not, we might be tempted to say, you know, this man I think is probably walking closer with God because, see, he doesn't need one. Now that's a foolish thought, I'll tell you right now. It's foolish. It is foolish. This man knows how far he needs to be from temptation. And we need to run from sin. And we need to pray for our young people. And our young men and young ladies, we're all tempted in some way, but the advances of technology, the internet was the internet was a major advancement. Now smartphones are another advancement. These things are useful, but Satan is having a heyday with them. And he's destroying lives, and he's destroying future marriages, because if he has our young people entangled in it, which Satan is working every day to do so, because their view of appropriate love in a marriage is skewed. And you can understand that. Well, Potiphar's wife, she lies about what happened. She says Joseph came on to her, and of course Joseph gets put in prison because of that. And so Genesis chapter 40, by the way, if you're Joseph, what are you thinking now about God, you know, God doing great things in your life? Well, now I went from being a slave in a foreign country, now I'm in prison. Well, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker, they make the king mad. They make Pharaoh mad. And they get thrown in prison. The deal is, Joseph, as a servant, he's in a great position with Potiphar as far as servants goes or slaves. Now he's in jail, but as far as jails go, he's in the good jail. This is where you know, political prisoners go. And he's in a good jail. And so you have the cupbearer and the baker there, and Joseph is promoted in prison. God blesses him so much. And there comes a time that these two, the cupbearer and the baker, they have dreams. And one of their dreams is that he would die soon, and the other dream is the other man's dream is he would be restored, and that's the cupbearer. And Joseph tells the cupbearer, "When you're restored to Pharaoh, put in a good word for me." Now this is a great plan, and I'm sure Joseph prayed about that, and he thought, "God, I know you're going to deliver me. I mean, I can see, God, what you're doing here. You've put these guys here, and now I'm interpreting their dream, and they're going to mention me, and I'm going to be restored. This is God. This is going to be wonderful." But look at what happens. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. For how long? 2 years. What was Joseph doing during those 2 years? Don't you know he was praying? "God, rescue me." Every day. For 2 years. A good leader is faithful to God during the worst times. And I've never really had insight into how Joseph felt about all these downtimes for him, because he rises to the top right next to Pharaoh. But during the downtimes, look at this and tell me if it doesn't give us insight. Look at what he named his two sons. This comes later. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Joseph suffered a lot. He struggled a lot. And if you're struggling right now, love God. Be faithful to God. Because your faithfulness during the worst times shows your love in a greater way than my faithfulness as when I'm in a good time. I'm in a good place right now, and I want to be faithful to God, and I am, and I know God honors that, but when times are difficult, it means more, doesn't it? Because it's not easy. Well, 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream, and then Joseph is sent to interpret this dream. Now the cupbearer remembers. Well, great. And so Joseph is brought in to interpret this dream. And Scripture says Pharaoh sent for Joseph. He was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And Joseph said, "I cannot." And I love his answer. "I cannot do it, but God will." A good leader recognizes God's power. And if you're struggling right now, you need to be reminded you cannot do it. And if you're succeeding right now, you need to be reminded you did not do it. But God empowered you to do it. Everything we do, we give credit to God. But please repeat with me these words: "I cannot do it, but God can." Repeat with me: "I cannot do it, but God can." Because I know some are here struggling today, and I'm sure in this number there's at least one that you are at the end of your rope. And you cannot do it. But we serve a God that can. And he did it for Joseph. He restores Joseph all the way up to second in command to Pharaoh. and interprets this dream where there will be 7 good years and 7 bad years, and there were 7 good, and they saved, Egypt saved up, and when the 7 years of famine came, Egypt was in good shape, all the lands came, even his brothers, even his family. And this is God's plan, to bring this family of Abraham's all the way to Egypt. 400 years later, they will exit a nation of 2 to 3 million people led by Moses. And that turns into the nation of Israel. And from that nation comes our Savior, Jesus Christ. God is able. And we're going to sing another song and praise God this morning. If you have something heavy on your heart you want us to lift up to God for you this morning, let us know. Come forward and let us know. If you're here this morning and you need to surrender your life to Christ and have your sins washed away and become a Christian, let us help you with that. If there's something you need, come while we stand and sing.